Welcome to Fairbanks First Assembly Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and blesses you. For more information, please visit our website at fbfirst.org.
Excited you joined us today. I know this is also a live stream. If you're online, thanks for joining us. We're starting a new series today called Financial Fitness. And how many of you guys know that it's good yearly probably to go get a checkup on your physical body, you know, and you're young, you have to have a physical. Now at my age, I don't want to go because they're going to say the C world. It's time for that colonoscopy type thing, you know, so I'm holding off on my physical for the next 10 years because of that age, right, okay? But you know, at my age, when you go, sometimes the doctor says, you know, there's a little bit, you know, you got to tweak this or whatever. Sometimes they say you got to get in shape. I say round is a shape. Come on, don't judge me, all right? Sometimes there's major changes when you have a checkup, and sometimes there's minor changes when you have a checkup. And today when we talk about financial fitness, this is really a time, some of you in here, this series, for you it might be, hey, doing really good, just a couple things to tweak. Others of you in here, it might be, no, I need a major overhaul, okay? See, some of you, here's the deal, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep is the downfall, okay? They say the average American this is, again, according to a U.S. Federal Reserve statistics, the average U.S. household debt has increased 11% the last 10 years. The average American has $16,425 with a credit card bill. $16,400. I wrap my mind around that and think, those are expensive airline tickets, okay? Just pay it off at the end of the month type of deal. The average American has $50,000 worth of debt when they graduate from college, okay? That's a lot of debt, okay? And some of our credit card debt, if we have it, is to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like, okay? And so we're going to talk and look at biblical principles for finances. You see, here's the deal. It is the Bible says Jesus speaks more about finances in the Bible than he does about heaven and hell. He talks more about money than heaven and hell. And here's the reason why. He said in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, your money, there will be your heart also. And so if you want to know where someone's heart is, follow how they spend their money, follow what they treasure, and you'll find out where their heart's at. And so Jesus, so as we talk about this series, the next couple weeks, we're going to look at how do we look at the spiritual topic called finances. And Pastor Bo kind of joked, and Pastor Bo says, oh, Mark, when I pastored, the worst series in the world to talk about was finances, because some people, like, all of a sudden, you just say money, and they're going, oh, the church is talking about money again. Guys, I read the prayer requests every week in our prayer staff, our staff prayer. The number one prayer request besides physical healings and miracles for people is money. And so I'm not at all scared. I'm excited about talking about this because I know one of the number one stresses in marriage is finances. One of the number one challenges, there's a whole lot of students from UAF that are here that are probably going, oh no, the real world shows up when I march through that line and I'm no longer a Nanook, I'm like a real adult having to pay bills all the time now. And so there are some of you in here that are trying to figure out, can you afford to have a child? Can you afford to be married? And I just say get married first and then have the child, okay? First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby carriage, okay? And all the dads with daughters said amen. All right, two of you. Come on, some of you need to help me out a little bit today, okay? But this is not a financial seminar. Let me just say the next 4 weeks, it's not a financial seminar, okay? This is more than that. See, money is more than a means of paying bills. Money is a heart issue. Where your treasure is where your heart is. So we're talking about heart issues. And I want to look today at a parable. And a parable is a story. A story with a spiritual principle. A story that Jesus would share parables to talk about principles bigger than people could grab and hold on to them because of the story form. And so I'm going to look at the story today about the parable of the servants, or the parable of the talents is what some people call it. And with that, I want to share five principles for financial fitness. Next week, we're going to talk about the key to financial health. We're going to talk about contentment next week. We live in a culture that wants more, and sometimes we have probably more than we need already. Talk about contentment next week. But today I want to talk about some principles for financial fitness. And the first principle that this parable teaches us is the principle of possession. And the principle of possession says this: everything I have belongs to God. And so this story, Jesus tells the disciples this story. And in Matthew chapter 25, this is where we find the story. It says this, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants. Whose servants? Say his. His servants, and entrusted his money, say his money, to them while he was gone. He says the kingdom of heaven can be is like a man who goes on a journey and entrusts to his servants his money while he's gone. So there's a principle here that I want you to understand. In God's eyes, you're his servants, and you're managers of what is his, not yours. It's called stewardship. You are stewards of someone else's resources. The problem we have is when we think we're the only ones that can solve our financial problems. Guess what? If we work harder, if we store more, if we do this, and whose strength are you working with? Whose intellect are you working with? Whose gift are you working with? Whose air are you breathing with his lungs in your body? It's all his. We're stewards. We're managers of his resources. And so the problem is when we get it backwards, we forget and we think it's all about what we've done. And the issue is, can you trust him to take care of you? That's really the bottom line when it comes to finances, is do you trust God to take care of you? When you take it into your own hands, how many of you know some of us have really messed it all up? And so God does not want you to worry about money. God wants you to trust him for what you have. And see, he's the business owner, and you're his servants, and you're managers, not owners. You're managers. It's called the principle of possession. It belongs to him. The second principle of financial fitness is the principle of allocation. God has loaned me the resources. God's loaned it to you. It's on loan. It's allocated to you. It says he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then went on a trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money, earned 5 more. How many of you know it's always good to do double your investment? That's a good thing. How many of you guys would like to listen to that guy and say, hey, what stock did you put that into, right? Okay, he received 5 bags of silver, began to invest. He earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags also went to work. Say work. He went to work and earned 2 more. Investment, 100% turn. The other guy with 2, he doubled it. That's a pretty good ROI, return on your investment, if you can double it. But, now, whenever the word but is there, how many of you guys want to know? If someone says, hey, I'm really sorry, but, let me say it. If you say you're really sorry and then say but, you just wipe that but. Why? Wipe. You wipe away everything you said before you said but. Not taking ownership. When there's a conjunction here, okay, conjunction, what's your function? Hey, there's two people doing it really well, but, okay, now the parable says, hey, but there's a whole nother part of the story here. But the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Now, I was in Bible college, and they told us to dig a hole in the backyard. Guy gets up and he says, now some of you are single. And so when you get to that first church, those ladies are going to bring you food because they think you're going to be hungry and starve. And so you don't want to lie if you didn't like the food. So you dig a hole in the backyard and call it spot. And they say, how was the casserole? You say, it was great. It really hit the spot. You're not lying. Okay, so this is a different story about a different hole, but he takes the hole, he buries the money, and here's the, notice something about the story though. Notice, some of you are like, okay, that was a stupid story, Mark. I'm thinking what you're thinking, like, okay, that's not in my notes. Why'd I leave my notes to tell that stupid story? No one's going to give me anything anymore. Someone gave me a pie the other day. I did thank them because that was a really good pie. Never mind, okay, all right. The amount given differs, okay? One person was given one person was given two, one person was given five. According to the story, it was money. Everyone gets something, but I want you to note something. Nobody here got nothing. Nobody in this place today is a no talent worthy person, okay? In this, another story talks about talents, but talent was a way that they weighed money. One was five talents, one was two talents, one was one. Nobody in here has not been, we've all been given something, in other words, okay? Each according to their abilities is what the master passes out according to their abilities. But note, you get to choose what you do with what God gives you. You get to choose. You can waste it. You can spend it. You can hoard it, you can use it, you can invest it, you can bury it in a hole called spot. God gives you the freedom, and he gives you the freedom as a test. He's saying the kingdom of God is like a man who goes on a journey, and he gives to one this much of his money, and to another, this much of his money, and to another, this much of his money, and the one with five chooses to do with it. They all choose what to do with it, because here's the deal. One day, we have to explain to God for our choices. The first principle is the principle of possession. Everything we have belongs to God. The second one is the principle of allocation. God has loaned us. But the third principle, and this is important, the principle of accountability. One day, God will audit me. Now, how many of you guys love that word audit? It just like, it's like one of those words where you're like, I love that word. Lord, please. With the IRS, please audit me. How many of you guys would love the IRS to send you that little note that says, you're being audited? How many of you guys would like that? Raise your hand real high. Well, how many of you guys want it? Here's the deal. It's not IRS that's going to audit you. You're going to get a life audit from GOD. There'll come a day where you give account for your abilities that he's differed. Everyone has different abilities, so he's allocated different amounts. But he is going to come back, and you're going to give an account for the abilities you have. And so why am I doing this series? Because I hope God can help some of you teach your abilities differently. Because we all have to respond, because we have response abilities. Why? Because there's an account that we'll all give. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. It wasn't theirs. They were stewards. Friends, there will come a day when God asks you to give an account for his money, for how you choose to use the resources that you steward. There'll be a final exam on life that God has given you. He has all the records. You don't have to present them for him. He already knows. God's made an investment in you, and he's counting on a return. What did you do with what I gave you? I love what Paul said in Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. We will all stand before God, friends, and give an account. That's called G-O-D audit. And that's called life. Irresponsibility can't last forever. It catches up with you. We as Americans, we've overspent for decades. But here's the reality. God owns it all. God loans it out. God lets us choose what we do with it. However, we'll give an account someday. I love what Matthew says in Matthew chapter 25, verses 23. It says, you have been faithful. He's responding to the man with five and with two. You've been faithful in handling what I've given you, the small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with one bag came in and said, Master, listen, what did he do with the one? He buried it. Master, I knew you're a harsh man. He's already casting blame and blaming God for his situation. And when you blame, you're being lame. When you blame, you're being lame. He's a victim. He's blaming God for the harsh reality that he has to give an account for what he hid and buried and did nothing with. It says this, I was afraid that I would lose the money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. He buried it. He did nothing. Then he blamed his master for his mismanagement. He becomes a victim. I love what Solomon, the wise man in Proverbs, says. This people ruin themselves. Proverbs 19, verse 3. People ruin themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame God. Let me read again. Proverbs 19:3. It's not on the screen. People ruin themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame God. When did God tell him to bury it? He didn't. God was wanting to find out how he would use what he was given. See, some are faithful. And some are wicked and lazy. But there's an audit. What we do with what God gives us matters. The fourth principle is the principle of utilization. I must wisely use what God has given me. I must wisely use my finances. I must use God's money wisely. It says, I was afraid to lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest from you. Just put in the bank and just be a wise steward and get the 1% return. What? Just do something. See, God expects me to invest what he loans me. The third guy's cautious. He's conservative. I'll play it safe. Nothing ventured. Nothing gained. He sat on it. But the master's upset and calls him wicked and lazy. In America, when we say wicked, we think of Weinstein, whatever the guy that got fired for all the sexual allegations, or now Kevin Spacey. And it's amazing how what our lives were like it follows us, okay? What happens in Vegas might not always stay in Vegas, amen? We think of wicked and we think of rape and murder and abuse, but God's definition is misusing the resources that God has entrusted us and given to us as stewards. God looks at wickedness differently than we do. It's sinful to bury and not multiply. He says at least put it in the bank. Didn't even try anything. Do something with it. Now, you might be here today, And you might be at a place where you're going, Mark, I am so upside down in my finances. I don't know how in the world to get out of where I'm at here. You know, do this. In January, when we launch our new life groups, we'll have a financial peace university. Join that and start to get on a path of healthy finances. Start to do something. Don't just go, oh, I can refi and we'll try to have it all go away. You might need to redo and rethink how you do what you do, because again, if your outgo exceeds your income, the upkeep ends up being the downfall. And so we have to do something. To bury something means to put it out of sight. I don't want to face it. I want to forget about it. And there's two insights I want to bring up about the thought of burying. It's number one, you can't please God by doing nothing. No prayer is sincere. You can say, oh God, fix my financial problems. Oh God. Pray like you're consecrated. Oh God. Pray as if everything depends upon God, but walk away and get the counseling and help as if everything depends upon you. No prayer is sincere unless you walk away from the altar and do everything in your power to see the answer happen. Can God set people free? Yes. Can God set you financially free? Yes. But God also goes, you know, you didn't use wisdom for 12 years and you want me to fix it all of a sudden like that, and you want to win the lottery? That might not be how it gets fixed. Sometimes financial freedom is a path and not a miracle to an altar. It's a path of years of figuring out and getting different habits in place. You can't blame God by doing, you can't please God by doing nothing. And second of all, God would rather have you try to serve him in faith and fail than do nothing. Than do nothing. Now I have a question. Who is most likely to do nothing with what God gave them? The person that wasn't given as many talents. The person with five, they had the capacity, had the people around them to figure out how to take the five and duplicate it and double it with the other five. And the person with two had people around them and helped them with two. Sometimes it's the person that doesn't have a whole lot that goes, I don't have a whole lot. And so sometimes it's the people in here today that don't have a whole lot that struggle the most. And maybe it's because we think, well, I'm not a superstar. I'll just sit here. I'm only a one talent type of person. I don't have as much. And I can't be the best. So, but just because you can't be the best doesn't excuse you from doing nothing. See, some of us have no joy in life. There's no spark. There's no enthusiasm. Why? Because we play it too safe. Sometimes you have to risk. Don't be a spectator. Jump into the game to say, I want to get healthy in this area of my life. Because here's the reality. The man who buried it tried to forget they had the problem. Tried to forget that there's accountability. It says this in Matthew. Just Jesus, after your wicked, lazy servant, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they're given, even more will be given and they'll have abundance. But to those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Anyone want God to bless their finances and bless what they've been given? You have to do something with what you have to become accountable to all God's given you. Amen? There's a path forward. You don't have to lose it. Don't misuse it. Don't do nothing with it. Say, God, give me the wisdom to make the right choices. And the final principle today is the principle of compensation. That's this. God will reward me for good management. Anyone want to be rewarded because they did the right thing? It says this. It says the master was full of praise. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. There's affirmation. God says, good job, well done. There's promotion. There's greater responsibilities. Hey, you've been faithful with this. I'll give you more. Anyone want? The path to promotion is being a good steward of what you have. If you're a good, faithful employee and you're a good steward of what you do, what you already have, God will give you more. He says, well done. He says, and there's promotion. And lastly, there's celebration. In the Bible, it says, come share in my happiness. Anyone want God to affirm you, promote you, and celebrate you? Am I the only one? Raise your hand if that's you. You want God. So what happens? Money is God's acid test for your faith. Money. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So I just want to say, let's use this month, church, friends. Let's use this month to say, God, before the final audit of life happens, I want to do self-auditing. I want to look at my accounting principles. I want to do an in-house audit. I want to look at what I'm doing, how I'm stewarding the resources God has given me, because ultimately I know there's accountability, and I want to do an audit. Let this month be the month. And again, it's like that checkup I talked about. You know, if you go in every year, there might be small changes, but one year it's like, okay, there's some big changes here. And so this month, friends, is a chance for us to do a financial audit of our life. Financial fitness. God, let's get in shape. How am I being a steward of what you've given me? See, in Luke chapter 16, it says this. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Look at me. Life is not all about how much you have in a bank account. What matters is the true riches that money cannot buy, and that's all that God has for us. And if God can't trust you with the physical finances, he won't trust you with the true riches. And this is this: no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Where are you at today? I don't know about you. I don't get A's in everything. But I can tell you this. I want to honor God with my finances. I'm not a wealthy person, but I'm a very wealthy person. I have 5 children who love Jesus. I have a wife who talks good about me in public and in private. I'm a wealthy person. I have what money cannot buy. I have a deep relationship with Jesus. I have a deep appreciation for God's word. I was taught at an early age to honor God with my finances. So this month, let's make it. And maybe you don't consistently come to church, and maybe you've been here a couple times. Maybe it's say, you know, I'm going to commit the next 4 weeks, because if money's a heart issue, I want to make sure I'm doing what God has asked me to do, because I'm going to give an audit for my life. Would you come the next 4 weeks? If you feel like you have a friend that could use some financial wisdom, bring them next week. I don't know where you're at. If you're upside down and you need some radical help, then there's a place called Love Inc. that we refer people to help with budget counseling and financial help in those areas, because we have people who need help. Don't suffer in silence. Don't bury your problem and blame everyone else for where you're at. Take ownership and say, okay, it's time to grow. It's time to get my chin off my chest, take ownership, and I'm going to get better. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me all across this place as we close today? Lord, I'm so thankful that our best is yet to come. I'm so thankful, God, that we can choose to be good stewards of the resources and finances you've given us. Lord, I pray for those, God, that have handled the stewardship in a good way. God, continue to bless them. And those in here, God, that maybe have been lazy and even wicked. In other words, they've mishandled the resources you've given them. Lord, I thank you. There's a path forward. It's called help. There's a fat path forward. It's called humility. There's a path forward that says I can't blame anyone else anymore. I got to take ownership and stewardship, and I've got to change some things to get better. We thank you for that in Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna sing a song, but as we do, I'm not gonna ask the prayer team to come forward this morning. But you're here, and you just want to thank the Lord because you're here and you go, man, I feel so blessed. God's helped me make really good decisions. You had parents that steered you that direction. I don't know. I had a mom and dad. My mom and dad are amazing people. They've been blessed. But I remember my mom and dad would sit down and they'd write their tithe check in front of us boys and say, guys, the reason we're blessed is because God has given. Or God has blessed us because we've continued to be faithful stewards of what God has given us. He taught us that principle. Some of you, you're thankful for. You're at others in here going, man, I need some help. So as we sing this song today, maybe you'd want to find a place to thank God today or come up here because you just go, God, I need some wisdom. I don't like where I'm at, and I'm going to take ownership for where I'm at. I'm going to get help. You don't have to tell anyone what's going on. God already knows, amen? As we sing this song, would you come? We'll spend some time in prayer today. Lord, we're so thankful for our lives. God, you've entrusted so much to each of us. God, let us live lives worthy as stewards. Let us live lives knowing there's a day of accounting. It doesn't have to be a scary day. It can be a day of celebration and promotion and God just saying, God, a day of sensing your appreciation for being good stewards. God, for those in here that need help, they've got themselves maybe upside down. They need some wisdom. God, would you help them? Lord, if a man lacks wisdom, we should ask you for it. Put the right mentors in their life, the right people in their life to get a path forward, Lord. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, if you feel like this series will help a friend, would you bring them next week? Again, God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. God bless your teenagers. Bring them back tonight. Youth service at 6 o'clock. God bless.